All right. Yeah, you can turn me down just a touch. I'm echoing a little bit. Well, I've got some exciting news about this building that we've been working on for our church that I want to fill you in on. As many as most of you know, we've been looking at a building for our church. It's a strip mall down on the corner of Rancho Vistoso and Oracle, the Walgreens shopping center there. And there was a meeting this past Monday at 1:30 that I had with the landlord of that facility. And here's what's awesome, okay? If I stand back and look at this situation, look at the big picture, I can almost literally see God's hand moving the pieces around and getting everything set and bringing us a home, because this is pretty awesome. We've been looking at this these two suites in this building at the shopping center. It's the Chase Bank building out in the middle of the parking lot, and it's 3,000 square feet, and it's a nice big space with lots of classrooms for children's ministries and stuff like that. And the sanctuary would be a long skinny room, probably about as far apart as these two blue lines. Those would be the walls, and it would be long and skinny. You know, I was talking with this landlord about this these two suites, and his no. Thanks, Richard. So I was talking with this landlord about these two suites, and his response was that these two suites are prime real estate, because they're right out on the street. It's going to get lots of coverage, lots of signage. So he wants to get the rent for that facility up to market rate as soon as possible. He was willing to start low for us at $12 a square foot, which is where we needed to be. But then he wanted to escalate within the next 5 years up to $16 a square foot and eventually beyond that. And the way Foursquare works, our denomination that has to approve this lease, we have to be able to afford the most expensive part of our lease now, just in case, God forbid, our church doesn't grow and we're this size 5 years from now. We have to be able to afford the most expensive part of our lease right now, which $16 a square foot we wouldn't be able to afford right now. We're going to have to jump through hoops to get $12 a square foot approved because it's over our budget. And that is a whole another story. But so the landlord said this. He said, you know, I want to get this up to market rate as soon as possible, but there's another suite that just opened up 2 weeks ago in this shopping center, and it's 2,400 square feet, which is a little bit smaller than 3,000, which is good because then it's more affordable for us. And he said, with this one, because it's back in the main part of the strip mall, I'm willing to be more flexible with the finances, with the rent. You know, it doesn't have to escalate as quickly, and so we can get it down under that bar that your district requires. And I went in and I looked at this. Actually, Pastor Karen went over with me, and Pastor Janet went over with me on Tuesday afternoon to look at this suite. And it's gorgeous, folks. It's got dark red carpet and mint condition. It used to be a clothing store called Scarlett's. And it's a gorgeous, wide open room that will make an awesome sanctuary and coffee place and hangout place. And then there's rooms in back that could be turned into children's classrooms. And it is even more perfect a situation than the one we were looking at. So this is how God works, because I was wondering, why is there such a delay? Why aren't I hearing back from our realtor on this? Why does he want to set up a meeting, but it's a week out? And this was all so that this other suite could open up for us. Because if we had moved on this building and forced our way in a month ago, that suite wouldn't have been available. And this is where God wants us. And I can see God's hand moving these little chess pieces around and preparing this place for us. And it's just awesome. If you have a chance, drive by there this week and kind of peek in the window. Of Scar- it has a big sign that said Scarlett's over the on the building there. Peek in there and take a look and see if you can see the vision for it that I see. And it's going to be pretty awesome, I think. So we're moving on that. We did make an offer on that place on Thursday. They accepted it on Friday, and they are drawing up the lease. So, hold on, folks. That's hurdle number one. There's two more. We got to get the lease through Foursquare and get it signed and approved. And to do that, it's still, you know, over our acceptable budget. So I need to drop a budget for 2011, 2012 that shows that we can pay for this and all that stuff. So that's the second hurdle, is getting it through Foursquare. And then the third hurdle is the county, which hopefully will... that's what tripped us up at this last place over here in Catalina last year. Hopefully that'll be much less of a hassle, because it already has sprinklers, it already has two bathrooms, it already has plenty of parking, it has pretty much everything that we would be required to have, as far as I know. So continue to pray for this. God's moving. He's moving us in the right direction. And I really believe that that this is supposed to happen. So just keep praying. I talked last week about how God had a plan for our church, and he's starting to show me a little bit more of what that plan is. So I'm talking this morning about hope, and this just goes to show you that we can have hope. You know, God has a plan for our church, and we can have hope that he knows what he's doing. All right? So that's great. As we move into the message this morning, can we bow and say a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for us, your provision for us. All right, now we just lift up this building to you, and that you would continue to open up those doors for us. Continue to open those pathways that we need to go through in order to have a home. Lord, thank you for preparing this for us. Continue to work. Lord, we lift up Lynn Moser to you, Lord, and her cancer. I pray that you would heal her right now, Father. Reach down, take the cancer out of her liver, make her completely healthy, Father. Lord, we love you so much. You are the master healer. You have the power to do this. And we beg you to heal Lynn's body, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message today. Give me the words that you want me to say, not just what I want to say. Lord, guide my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's also, we have a couple birthdays this week. It's Betty's birthday today, right? It's Megan's birthday tomorrow. Is that what I heard? Yeah, okay. All right. Huh? Dwayne's is tomorrow too, yeah. But Dwayne's not here. Let's sing a traditional happy birthday. Can we do that? All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Betty and Megan. Happy birthday to you. All right. Happy birthday, guys. Hope it's a great one. All right, we've been in a series called Cry Out America, and I'm going to ask Paul, our usher, to pass out the prayer guides for this week. Each week we're focusing on two different indicators of spiritual awakening that you could be praying for in your time alone with God. There's one indicator for our church, an indicator of spiritual awakening, and one indicator for our culture that you can be praying for. When you start seeing these things happen, it means that God's getting ready to move and a revival's coming. So this week we're praying for our church, for the church as a whole. We're praying for a commitment to radical generosity as evidenced by compassion ministries and global missions. So this is the church getting out there into the community. You know, like we have our community outreach services headed by the Ruperts. And getting out there and having compassion on people. And then global missions as well. You can give towards global missions, seeing the gospel spread around the world. And then as far as our culture goes, America, We're praying for an increased care for children as gifts from the Lord, as the gospel addresses abortion, adoption, foster care, and child well-being. This has a special place in my heart because my wife's parents are foster parents of a bunch of kids over the years. So I really do care about this. I believe that every child is special. And I think that as a whole in America, we need to realize that. There's so many people out there that feel neglected and feel unwanted, and so many babies that aren't wanted. And so just pray for that this week, if you would. So, last week we talked about God's plan for our lives, and for our church, and for our country. God has a plan. And I want to continue that a little bit this morning by talking a bit about hope. Because it's very easy when you're in the middle of situations, when you're in the middle of life, it's very easy to lose hope sometimes, isn't it? It's easy to look around at your circumstances and they just seem hopeless. How am I going to get out of this? You know, how am I going to make it through this? It's hopeless. And even though we're told that God has a plan, you know, that's one of the things that you say to people when they're hurting, right? When they're going through something tough, don't worry, God has a plan. You know? And it's a good thing to say, but also oftentimes people just see it as a platitude, as something that you're just saying, and where's the proof? You know? God has a plan, great, but I'm in this mess. You know, and sometimes it's hard to see that. It's hard to focus on that. And sometimes it's easy to start to doubt God, to doubt that He knows what He's doing, and doubt that he is really in control. And at times like that, it's easy to lose hope. And the opposite of hope is hopelessness. And if you're living your life in a hopeless way, if you're living your life in the middle of hopelessness, then what's the point? It's hard. What are you taking your next step for if it all doesn't matter? Doubting God's power can leave you hopeless. Because if He can't handle it, who can? Nobody. So I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk about hope. Talk about how important it is to keep hope in your life. And to remember God's power like we sung about this morning. The power of His love. And how great He is. How great is our God, right? How we can have victory in Him. Victory in Jesus. Our lives don't have to be hopeless. We have hope because our God is bigger than anything you're going through in your life. And His power can conquer that. His power can give you victory. Look at our country. We're spending this series talking about America. Look at our country and think about, seems like every law that is passed and every person that's elected into office just sends us further down this path to destruction, doesn't it? And sometimes it's easy to look at that and just focus on that, and it becomes hopeless. You start to think, why bother? God's given up on us. God's turned His back on us, obviously. But God has a plan. Don't lose hope. Turn in your Bibles, if you can, to 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read you the story of a woman who really was in a hopeless situation. But even then, God came through. 2 Kings chapter 4, it's also on the screen behind me. Starting in verse 8, this is the prophet Elisha. It says, one day, Elisha went to Shunem And a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" And she replied, I have a home among my own people." She was a well-to-do woman, it says. But this is a really interesting relationship that Elisha has with this woman. They have a close relationship. It's not like the other people that he travels around and talks to. They have a very close relationship here. So what can be done for her, Elisha asks. And Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and this is years later now. One day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. My head," he said to his father. His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and went out. Let me pause here for a minute. Can you imagine the hopelessness that this woman was feeling at this time? God had done a miracle on her behalf and given her a son, even though her husband was old. And God had done this miracle and given her this baby, and now all of a sudden, the boy is taken away from her. Why? Why would God do that? Why would God give her something and then take it away again? Why would God get her hopes up that she was going to have a family and then wipe it all away? Why would God do something like that? Why not heal him when he had the headache? Why put her through all that extra pain and heartache? Why not just not give her a son in the first place? But I'll tell you why. Headaches go away all the time, right? That could be explained away. But somebody coming back from the dead, that's something you can't explain away. God was about to show his power. You can't rationalize that. God was about to show his power in a mighty way. And there was no need for her to be hopeless, because God had power over that situation. In verse 22, she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "It's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God, Elisha, said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. And when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. This woman's situation seemed hopeless, didn't it? Her son was dead. It's the end of the line. But God had a bigger plan. You ask, why would something like that happen to someone? It's so that God's power could be shown. God had a plan. And even when we can't see what that plan is, we've still got to trust Him and keep our hope in Him. A lot of us in this room are facing trying times in our lives right now. Some of us are facing situations that are bigger than we've ever had to face before. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. We've got to keep our faith, keep our eyes on our Savior, and let Him work in those situations. Let Him do something amazing. He's going to guide us through those times. Let's look at Psalm 42. This is the psalmist here was obviously facing something horrific in his life. He's facing a situation that could be seen as hopeless. Except this guy has the right outlook on things. Let's look at this. It says in verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? And so often, right, when we're facing situations, when we're in the middle of a hopeless situation, it's easy to look around and say, where is God? It's easy to have other people come to you, they know what you're going through, and they're not believers, and they say, where is your God? Verse 4 says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How we used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love, at night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Do you see how this guy got through the hopeless situations in his life? He remembered what God had done for him in the past. He remembered the times that God has worked miracles in his life. And he says, God, if you can handle those situations, you can handle this one. That's why the trying times that we face in our life, they tend to build our faith. And as we see God move in the little areas of our life, giving us those little victories as we're young Christians and we're living our lives, God gives us victories in those small areas. That increases our faith for the bigger stuff that's coming. And when God gives us victory in those areas, then that gives us faith for the even bigger stuff that's coming down the line. God knows what He's doing. We got to keep our faith in Him. Keep our hope in Him. Don't give up your hope. Don't live your lives hopelessly. Because God is bigger. It says right there, second to last line, for I will yet praise Him. That's what He does. In the hopeless situations, He continues to praise God and give Him the glory. It's okay to question God. In the verse right before this, he says, why have you forgotten me, God? Where are you? And it's okay. It's okay to cry out to God and express your frustration and your doubt. He wants to know. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to express ourselves to Him. But at the same time, continue to praise Him. So, 3 points I want to give you this morning on how to keep your hope. These come from Romans 15:13, which I've used as a benediction sometimes. I don't think I have it on the slide. But Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 3 things that you can do to help you keep your joy through your circumstances. First one is this. In the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your struggles, when you feel doubt creeping in, ask God to fill you with joy. Ask God to fill you with His joy. Joy is not happiness. Joy can be a part of your life whether you're happy or sad or angry or frustrated or excited. Joy can be a part of your life. Joy is knowing where you're going. Joy is knowing that what you're going through right now is not all there is. Joy is knowing where you're going for eternity. Your present circumstances, they're going to fall away. They're going to disappear. But you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. That's joy. So ask God to fill you with joy in the midst of your circumstances that you're going through. And also, ask God to fill you with peace. Ask God to fill you with peace. So often, our need to be in control causes us to get really, really frustrated and angry when we come across situations that we have no control over. And it's really easy in those times to lose our peace. We get anxious. We worry because there's nothing that we can do to change the situation. But by receiving God's peace through our circumstances, we acknowledge that He's the one in control. He's going to handle things. And we just have to sit back and follow directions and watch. We can have peace. We've got to put our worry and our anxiety aside and let God fill you with that peace. And then thirdly, trust Him. Trust Him. He's the one in control. He has a plan. We talked about that last Sunday. He has a plan. He knows what He's doing. Trust Him. Stop fighting against Him. Be patient. Wait on Him. So the verse says, may the God of hope, and our God is a God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. When you ask God for that joy, and you ask Him for that peace, and you turn it over to Him and trust Him, then He's going to fill you with that hope, and it's going to be overflowing. The Holy Spirit, it's going to overflow from inside you with that hope that He's going to give you. Same goes for America too, for our country. Like I said, it's real easy to get frustrated watching what's happening in our government. The ungodly ways that they're acting, the laws they're passing, the people that are being elected into office. Remember, no one goes into leadership in our government unless God places him there. He's in control. He has a plan. Trust Him. Ask Him to fill you with His joy. Because we know, right, that all the stuff going around us in this country, we know that's not all there is. We know we've got eternity in heaven with our Savior. Ask Him to fill you with His peace. A lot of these things we can't control. They're bigger than us. All we can do is try to influence the people that represent us in government. And ask God for that peace, knowing that He's in control. And then trust Him. He's got a plan for this country. He's leading us somewhere. He's leading us somewhere. We've got to get our act together and start following Him and listening to Him. A lot of our leaders aren't doing that. But God knows what He's doing. And He will use people. He will even use people that don't follow Him for His purposes. First Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? It talks about love. At the end of that chapter, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We got to keep our faith in our Savior, our faith in God, no matter what we're facing in our lives. That's going to give us hope, knowing that we're not all alone. And it all comes from love. Our Heavenly Father loves you so much, He's not going to let you fall. You've got to trust Him. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your provision over us. We thank you, Lord, for that you know all our deepest, darkest secrets. You know the things that we're facing in our lives that nobody else even knows about. You know about our job problems. You know about our financial problems. You know about our relationship problems that we're facing in our life. And Lord, right now we acknowledge that you are bigger than anything we face in our life. You're bigger. You are bigger than health problems. You're bigger than the cancer in Lynn's liver. You are bigger than anything we face in our lives. And your power is great enough to give us victory. Well, right now we claim that. We claim victory in your name. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of our problems and onto you. With our eyes on our problems, it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to doubt. But Lord, put our eyes on you. When we do that, we see you for what you are. The omnipotent, amazing, all-powerful God. And our problems are just bits of dust in your presence. Lord, I pray for peace. I pray peace for every person in this room. I pray joy into their lives. Give them your joy as we trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Your holy, precious name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing song now, but I want our prayer teams to be available over here to your left if there's anything you want to come and be prayed for. Somebody join you, walk alongside you through these times.